Welcome to Let's Talk About It, co-hosted by Maria Wyatt and Scott Dudley. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXOradio.com.
Good morning, Imperial Valley. You are listening to your weekly wellness radio, Let's Talk About It, from Mexicali and Imperial Valley. We are brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health and KUBO 88.7. Our phone number here at the station is 337-8874. And also you can access our shows, previous shows, and future
present shows right now, and present shows in the future at KXOradio.com.
Well, no, this one, this present will be in the future.
If that were true, should we like give out the lottery numbers? We should, huh?
Oh yeah.
Help people out for the call.
You know what I'm trying to say.
She's Maria. 337-8874 is the phone number. Write it down because sometimes you know you write emails. Like, oh, good question, and the host like stops giving out the phone.
It's been twice I've been on the show this week.
Yesterday. What was that for yesterday?
It was fun. We were at the annual Imperial County Health Fair.
Health and Benefit Fair.
Right down Main Street in the quad area of the courthouse. And we had a lot of guests. And there was a lot of good music by the outpatients. And a friendly competition between Jim Sims and Mike Horn. And it was like a lot of giveaways and raffles and goodies.
Shout out to the Zumba dancers who went ahead
Zumba.
And helped the band.
I had a friend there, Yvonne Cordero. She was there. Yvonne Cordero.
Anyhow, welcome aboard. Hey, yeah, we do have a show. We have a guest. We have a topic. Yeah, we got the whole thing covered for you today. Just kick back, listen, enjoy the show. Julio Camargo is a mental health counselor and a that's his job classification. Okay. He is a marriage and family therapist intern. That's his licensing classification. He works for the County of Imperial Behavioral Health. He, until yesterday, was a child. Now he's an adult. He worked for children up until yesterday. And then the clock struck 12, and he went out last night, got a tattoo, came in.
So
said,
now you've been tattooed.
Mom and Dad, today I'm an adult.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
What are you going to be doing at the adult program?
I've already been there for 2 months, and I've been doing the same thing that I'm going to be doing.
So just like any teenager, you've been hanging out with the adults now for a couple months prior to you actually crossing over.
Yeah. Intakes and therapy.
For the adults. Yeah,
for the adults.
Welcome aboard.
Thank you.
And so where do you want to go today?
What are we going to talk about? Let's talk about it.
Let's see. Let me think about something. How about we talk about improving communication within the family? I don't know. I just came up with that right now.
Good.
Perfect.
That's always good.
We all have families.
Yeah. And we all need to improve communication at some point. So
let's start there.
Yeah. Why not?
So give me some motivation here. I'm like an actor or something. I need motivation. Why is family communication worth even talking about?
Well, since we just came up with that topic right now. I'm just thinking about some reasons to discuss such an important topic, and it's I don't think there's ever a time when it actually shouldn't be discussed, because ever since humans exist, even before there were communities,
before Facebook there was social networking?
Actually there was in some way. Yeah. There was, you know, the family. And before there were all these groups of people moving from one place to another, there was the interaction, so to speak, between two individuals. From there was born another individual, and hence born the family. And that has been for, as we know, possibly millions of years. As long as we can remember and that we can't remember.
So I get an angle on that. I mean, I hear what it sounds like you're kind of saying is like to be human, to learn how to be a human being isn't like downloadable. You can't go to like iTunes and download human. You have to get it from other people.
Yeah.
And so when you're little, you know, you have to get the words, the concepts, the everything.
Exactly.
It's like we're not instinctual beings.
But we have to understand that there's communication of family one mode of communication with the family works for them, and then different, yeah. It can't apply to all of them. It's, you know, everyone is, every family is different, and there here's the, that download doesn't work for them. There's a different download that works for the other family.
You're going to get a certain type of download.
Yes.
Regardless, you know, depending on what type of family you come in.
Yeah, and one of the most, you have touched on a very important point, because even more so where we live, this area, unlike, you know, for example, deeper in Mexico where you most typically have only, not as much diversity.
Everybody's on the culture.
Yeah, everybody's on the same page. But here in the United States, and then in also in Mexico, mm-hmm. especially in the border, but even more so here, we have, it's both an opportunity but also a challenge, because mm-hmm. you have all these
cultures
and
even here with us, right, Scott? I mean,
yeah.
Your wife is Mexican, my husband is Caucasian, you're Caucasian, I'm Mexican. And we have this clash of communication,
yeah.
You know, my way of growing up, if you didn't listen to your mom or your grandma, you got a chanclazo, you know, a sandal thrown at you.
Well, and I'll even throw another card into the thing, you get this cross-generational thing.
Yeah.
I mean, my children's brains have bigger spots for their index fingers than for their thumbs,
yeah.
like normal people should have, because they are computer people, they're iPhone people, they're this, and that's what, talk about throwing a wrench into communication.
Yeah, exactly.
Mario, could you look up from your toy for a second and, like, talk to us? No.
He's with his iPhone right there.
So you've got this whole emerging communication model that some of us are all thumbs at, if you'll pardon that.
Yeah, and one, like you mentioned, one of those models that I have personally, you know, kind of adapted, and because not only going to school, but also even after school, after having completed my degrees and so on, I just became, like, really excited and have become, like, very much involved on a personal level, you know, outside of work.
I think you're just lighting up right now, if we can talk.
In structural family therapy. I'm just really, and as all of our listeners may already know, Behavioral Health has adopted the functional family therapy model, and they include a lot of some concepts from that theory into it, and it's even more so for us to be excited about using such a model. And it's amazing how in structural family therapy, you know, Mnuchin included many things, sort of like a Nostradamus of our times back in the 70s, included so many things that maybe then weren't as relevant as they are today, because so many things have changed in the last 30, 40 years. It's amazing.
But you're saying he saw it coming.
But he saw it coming, yeah. And maybe at the time it wasn't as relevant as it is now, but it, in some way it must have been for him. Otherwise he wouldn't have included it in his model. But for example, there's so many things we see on the news now. I mean, just right across the border, not very far from here. Not as much in Mexicali as in other places, but all this violence, you know, that
really good reason to avoid the news.
Yeah.
Depressing.
And a very good reason to watch them too, to be aware of what's going on as
well.
We're so close.
Yeah, it's kind of a mixed thing. I mean, communication starts with what you let get inside of your brain, basically.
Yeah.
And so if you expose yourself to negativity, to toxicity, to bad vibes, if you will,
don't
be all fixed-ish about it, then it takes its toll on your mind, and it takes its toll on how you begin to interpret the world.
Yeah.
And my mom's a CNN lady. I mean, you know, it's like, and she's 70, so, you know, the hearing's going. So you walk into the house and there's this wall of sound. And it's not like a wall, you know, it's not like, you know, your kids with the stereo turned way up. It's the same thing, except it's headline news. And if it bleeds, it leads.
And they're usually bad.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I know we're probably getting off the subject, but, you know, that happened to me. My mom, you know, she was watching the news, the Mexican news, and they had recently some, you know, it happened, you know, people were hung in Tijuana.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter went in. And she saw that. And I go, what's that? And, you know, she's 4. I said, they're puppets.
Mm-hmm. Halloween.
Yeah.
Yeah, when my daughter's visiting my mom's house, so, I actually put rules on my mom about watching that show.
Yeah, so it's just like, you know, I hope that's a good form of, you know, but it's, at four, she doesn't eat.
But I guess the only reason I'm bringing that up is because, you know, unfortunately, somehow in that interaction between the people carrying out such things,
right,
some communication must have not gone as well as it should have, I think, and hence the importance to, you know, discuss such a topic today and hopefully many times from here on.
So if basically the goal of communication is then for things to go well, so for everybody to get as much out of whatever interaction that they're having. So if you're raising kids, you know, communication's goals for the kids to be happy and healthy, for the adults to feel understood, you know, like the kids are drinking whatever Kool-Aid the adults are trying to
listen to,
pawn off on them. All right, did I say it wrong way? I am sorry. But the adults were teaching the children the valuable things that they need to be successful and well-adjusted adults.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like you said it perfectly, not only, you know, bottom line to get along, but also to hopefully, through appropriate and effective communication within the family, you know, help those that are children now to carry on through their lives as people good, and they're going to be, you know, the people that maybe are going to be on the headlines when you go into your mom's house on CNN, because they're going to be our future political leaders and our future city leaders and so on. So hopefully that communication
at an early age, our kids are sometimes, are somebody going to be in charge of the world?
That's some of them may be,
So look, I tell you what, we're almost up against the break, so let's kind of stay with this for a second, and then after the break what we'll do is we'll break down Manish, and we'll break down structural family therapy and kind of see how all the parts bounce off themselves and maybe come up with some tips on what people can do to manage that. I just want to touch something before the break. You know, you throw out like appropriate communication.
Yeah.
It's kind of a loaded phrase because, you know, my appropriate, maybe you're like, whoa, dude, what are you doing? What definition do we use, and what's a good way to take some of the, I don't know, maybe the judgment out of the term like that?
Well, you know, that's a very good
point.
No, it certainly was. And, you know, going back to structural family therapy, it always focuses on the balance that should exist between rigid and not as rigid.
Ooh. Nice.
So that, once again, I honestly have not found anything on structural family therapy that you cannot incorporate into communication with families as they are today.
So, but there's like this, for appropriate in this model then.
Yes.
There's like this zen spot where you're neither party or all parties. Yeah. I guess it could be like a 17-party thing.
Yeah.
Everybody's has some give to them.
Yeah.
But not too much give.
Mm-hmm. It's the balance that you find between the two. Whether you're Hispanic, Caucasian, Asian, whatever it is.
Mom, dad. Kid.
Yeah. Any part of the subsystem, couple, parents, siblings, there has to be that balance. And that is something that you can find appropriately, regardless of who you are.
Great. So what we'll do is we're right at the top of the hour. Let's go ahead and take a short break, and then we'll come back and kind of break this down and give people some structure and some boundaries, and we'll talk about our personality. Right. And this is Let's Talk About It, your voice for radio. I'm here in Imperial Valley. We're sponsored by Imperial County Behavioral Health. It's top of the hour. You got to be at work at 8. Don't go fast. You're hurt somebody. Come on. Be careful. All right. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Let's Talk About It, presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services. A 5 to 6 minute highlight podcast of the same show is available on KXLRadio.com.
And welcome back. You're still listening to Let's Talk About It, the wellness radio for Imperial Mexicali Valleys. We are brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health and KUBO 88.7. Radio Bilingue, and our phone number here at the station is 760-337-8874 or KXLRadio.com, where you can access previous podcasts.
Welcome. Good morning. I'm Scott. She's Maria. Julio Camargo is sitting to our right. He is an MSP intern, marriage and family therapy intern, who works as a mental health counselor for Imperial County's worked a lot in children's, worked in the McNeese. He was the kind and gentle cornerstone of McNeese receiving home for a year and a half or so. I don't know.
Flattered.
Yeah.
Great guy to pick up.
And now he's working over in our adult clinics, and so we're glad to have you aboard. Talk about family communication today.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's
hit this theory. Let's hit it hard for about 15 minutes, and then let's jump right into tips. 337-8874 is the phone number. Structural family therapy. Give us some structure here.
Yeah. One thing that is really interesting, structural family therapy is I love it. And one thing that is very appropriate to what we're talking about right now is the subsystems within structural family therapy. You know, you have the three subsystems, the couples, the parents' subsystems, and the sibling subsystem.
Ooh, those could get confusing, too, yeah. I bet.
And that's the whole point.
Oops, I'm treating you like a sibling. Oh!
Yep. Yeah. And next thing you know, you have, like, these uncles being the parents, or these two siblings caring for the other seven kids, and
parent can't be flip-flops.
Yeah, while the parents are out there doing something else, or maybe they're at home, not necessarily doing what
they're
supposed to do, incarcerated, on drugs.
Or working.
Or working.
Yelling at the TV set, watching political news.
No, and
maybe.
No, working, because my parents work, and you know, I was sometimes with step with my brothers.
Yeah. Same here. I have to take care of my sister quite a bit while my dad was working and my mom was working too. So, and then a grandma pitches in a little bit. So, you know, maybe the couple's subsystem is there because obviously I was born from that couple subsystem. But maybe the parent's subsystem was a little blurry in that sense. And at times even the sibling's system within the family also gets kind of lost because sometimes...
I'm going to jump in. So let's start with couples, because not all of us have children, and most people end up coupling up, because again, humans are kind of social critters.
Yeah.
So couple subsystem, what does it look like? Who does what? Is it my turn yet? Oh.
The couple subsystem within the structural family therapy is probably the most simple.
Good. We start in the right place.
Yeah. Kind of like the most easy to explain. And it's because it really, in a way, it may not play a huge part in any family. The couple subsystem is basically a man and a woman creating
or
a child.
Two men or two women or...
Yeah.
That's true.
California.
Yeah. So that's basically it. So the... In the case, for
but they're both adults, I guess.
But they're both adults, starting. Yeah. And in that sense, it would have to be a man and a woman, whether it's a gay couple raising a child, because I don't think technology so far allows a man to become pregnant.
Adopt.
But then in that case, that would make them the parents. Subsystem.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Ah, I see.
Yeah. But, okay. So the couple subsystem may be lost. From
so
the beginning.
It's just a biological moment.
It's a biological moment.
Yeah. The way you're describing it.
Yeah.
Doesn't and mean that they're together
exactly.
or just it's created.
Exactly.
Prom night. And
yeah. So the couple subsystem may be the parent system, but not necessarily.
Okay. So that was easy.
Yeah.
Let's see. What's the next E? Sibling subsystem. Let's try that
out. Well, it was the parents.
Well, yeah. That one sounds pretty complex.
Yeah.
Well, the parents, because like Scott mentioned, parents can be two men, two women. Two men and one woman.
Could be one of anything. Could be three. Could be, I don't know. So talk about the parent subsystem.
It could be a facility.
Yes. Talk about the parent subsystem. What is that? What are the rules? What are the boundaries? What are they? Yeah. What are we talking about when we say parent subsystem?
When we say parent subsystem, and you mentioned something very important, boundaries. That's right, fits perfectly right into what we're talking about. But in terms of a parent subsystem, hopefully you have, that balance that Manushin mentions so much. You have neither closeness nor openness. You don't have rigidness against consistency. So And there's another word that he implements, that he uses instead of consistency. It's not necessarily consistency, but, you know, kind of like maintenance or stability is the word. I had it right there, and I knew that it would come. But there's not rigidness or too much, you know, stability. So you don't have too much of neither one. So when you're talking about parents, you hopefully don't have one parent that's very permissive and one that's very rigid. You have a balance.
Like, that's the same thing as structural family therapy.
Yeah.
You know, if a parent is autonomous, parent would be just not very close.
Yeah.
And then you have one that, you know, is very close.
So are the parents, so the parents have to combine in kind of a singular unit with each of their strengths?
Basically, yeah.
And they're basically like the DJ at the party, right? They're the ones who are picking the song the family plays.
Yeah. Okay. And there's no easy way to put it because, I mean, there's no manual that teaches you how to achieve that balance, right? I mean, parents don't have a baby and immediately at the hospital they're
you know what everything
like this package. Yeah, here you go.
Operating
you have to read this. Put this CD on the computer and you'll learn everything about structural family therapy.
Well, dude, you don't even need to like do a credit check to make a baby. Come on.
Yeah.
No approval necessary.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the all these foreclosures had no impact on the
337-8874. We're here with Julio Camargo. He's a marriage and family therapist, works as a mental health counselor over at Carnegie Imperial. We're talking about family models and structures. So we've got the parents kind of picking the tune the family plays. And we don't even sit down as couples typically and say, okay, I'm going to be the strict one, you're going to be the nice one.
Mm-hmm.
Good point.
And it's going to be cool because we know together we're a balance. So you're not going to be like secretly hating me because I'm too strict and vice versa, and I'm not going to undercut you. We don't do that. I mean,
no.
It's not like dinner time conversation.
No, it's not.
Or the night of the prom conversation.
But each couple should know that that's the way they are, that the parent, that's the way they are.
You're right. At some point, there's this communication that doesn't necessarily, you know, require them to sit down and tell each other directly, you're going to be the rigid one, I'm going to be the most permissive one. But it somehow happens in the process, right? I mean,
well, there's kind of like niches. I think if I saw somebody being really rigid, my tendency, if I was co-parenting with them, would be to be a little softer, and vice versa. If I saw somebody that was just like giving the kids the keys to the store, I'd be like stepping in and saying, you know.
Yeah. But you know what, though? Even though you don't necessarily take the time to do that, I'll speak from my own personal experience. My wife and I, we have actually, you know, separated ourselves from the kids in having this conversation and kind of, you know, established as best as we can. You know, this happened the other day and maybe we didn't carry it out the best way we should have with our 8-year-old daughter, but that's because after I took away, I don't know, the video game, you gave it right back to her, and we had that conversation, and we decided, okay, so if you're taking away the video game, I'm not going to give it back, because then what is that child going to think? Okay, I'm just going to go to my mom, and I'm going to get it back. No big deal. My dad took it away, but no problem.
They are very smart.
Yeah, they are.
Very smart.
Yeah, and we had that conversation, and a while back, I mean, my daughter's, well, children, mm-hmm. at any age are incredibly smart. So since one or two start noticing who they can manipulate easier.
Well, because they've been, and manipulation, that's kind of a harsh
term. Yeah, well,
it's about getting your needs met.
Yeah.
And kids got nothing better to do than download their parents. You know, we're busy paying bills and dealing with each other and have all these other things going on. So the kids, especially when they're babies and toddlers and stuff, they're reading you.
They throw temper tantrums because they know they can.
If it gets the little vein in daddy's neck to stand out and I give you the piece of candy, then yeah.
It works. And they know that. And they
know that. You a little harsh.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it works for me.
Yeah, but again, it's not about playing people or manipulating. To me, it's about just natural behavior following its course of development.
And culture, too.
Absolutely.
And culture, because I was raised by a strict parent, and, you know, my husband, he had my stepkids.
Mm-hmm.
And he was so, you know, let them go here, let them go, you know, LA, you know, just by themselves. And I was, you're being, you know, too little. You're just giving too much. He goes, no, you know, I'm teaching them how to be independent.
Yeah.
So he,
did you guys ever sort that one out?
Yeah, and it's true.
Yeah,
because I looked back at when I was raised by strict parents, and then I'm on my own, I didn't know anything, you know, just to be on my own. It would have been nice to have learned that I was through my teenage years, you know, once you're 18 and you go to college and you're on your own.
Yeah.
And a lot of kids get lost. So, and it, that's a culture issue, you know, from raised in a Mexican family, very strict. And then he goes, my husband, no, I'm teaching him to be independent.
Yeah, and all of a sudden being thrown into the brick.
And it's not because you're giving them all the free, you know, free rides and everything, let them do whatever they want.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that.
But this model works both ways. I mean, it could work towards a more liberal, open, independent-oriented goal, or it could work towards a more rigid. I mean, it's just basically what channel you've got the TV on, you still fine-tune the same way.
Yeah. Cause whether
that's
you're,
a good one. Fine-tune it.
Yeah, because whether you're a family that's more oriented towards more conservative values and so on, or if you're a more liberal, like you mentioned, type of family, it works both ways because either way, you have to find that balance.
Well, there's probably some sort of healthy normative stuff. And then if you're too rigid or too not rigid, you've got the wheels start falling off the bus, you know.
and whether you're conservative or more liberal, I mean, there's always, you know, the affection has to be there. There has to be that promotion of openness during the family and conversations and allowing everybody to speak their mind freely without being, you know,
oh, ouch, even kids.
Well, even yeah, and it may be difficult.
I don't, you know, honestly, I'm just kind of reflecting back on when I was a child. I rarely think I ever got like people soliciting my real opinion. Come on, and I grew up in a fairly, you know, 60s baby boomer liberal household. Scott, what do you really think about that? We want to know because we're trying to guide our family in the right path, and your unvarnished opinion of what's really going on is important to us in our family's quest for Zen. I don't know, whatever. Was that going on in your house?
little Maria, what do you think?
What should we have for dinner tonight? It's hard to imagine.
Well, yeah, I think you wouldn't be asking a 5-year-old whether you should refinance your home or not. I mean,
it turned out that might have been a good idea.
So I do ask my 4-year-old, you know, if when I take her, I don't buy her clothes anymore on my own. I have to take her. And I, do you like this?
Yeah.
It's
there
a
you go.
Story right there.
There you go.
You know, why am I going to spend my money and buy her clothes that she doesn't want to wear?
Yeah.
I'm struggling in the morning.
As opposed to, I don't care if you like it or not. You're just going to wear it. Period. Right? I mean.
Well, yeah. There's actually a weird spot where if you don't let people know that there's actually a choice to be made, then they just go on and life goes on and they don't even realize that I'm supposed to like be thinking about this one.
But for example, I mean, I can think of growing up in Mexico. And I went.
You had no options.
You had no options. I was
wasn't a choice.
I was in 3 different elementary schools, 2 junior highs, and 4 high schools. I never went to any of my graduations, and I'm sobbing right now in front of the microphone. There's tears rolling down my cheeks, remembering these things.
It's cold and flu season.
Your
body fluid stuff.
But
not
good. I don't ever remember being asked about, you know, what do you think? How do you feel about? Never.
There you go. Another case.
So I was one of those kids, but yet just because I experienced that, I'm not gonna, you know, have that on my kids. I mean,
it makes it difficult for us to find that spot though.
That's
what I'm saying.
And that's
because we never had the model.
Exactly. That's the balance. That's where, as adults, as hopefully mindful thinking adults, we are able to make that, you know, distinction between, you know, this may be too harsh on my kid, even though I went through the same experience, and I grew up to be, quote-unquote, come out relatively sane.
Okay.
337-8874 is the phone number if you got questions for Julio. We're here with Julio Camargo. He's a mental health counselor, marriage and family therapist intern at the Imperial County. We're talking about family structure. And I promise you I get to tips. It's 819. So tips is in your court. No, don't look at the clock. Just give me some tips. Stay focused. So tips. So let's talk directly about
I need all the tips I can get.
With this model, what kind of stuff goes on? What kind of stuff do people look for?
Yeah.
What kind of stuff can people try out and have fun with?
I think it's... we actually threw out some tips a couple minutes ago. You know, allowing the openness to take place.
Opinion.
Everybody. Maybe...
Give them a chance to
express themselves. Mm-hmm. And maybe... It doesn't mean that is exactly what's going to happen.
But at least you know.
And not only that, you can explain the reasons why that is not an option.
Mm-hmm.
But that certainly allows, you know, for that communication to continue, because if it doesn't really happen like that, next thing you know, nobody's going to really want to give their opinion. Maybe, what's the point?
I mean, what kind of stuff are we talking about? Like, what movie do we see this weekend? Or
we're talking about... Probably the things that affect the family in general. I mean, it could be. It sounds silly, but yeah, what kind of movie you're going to watch this weekend? If the entire family is going to watch it, yeah. If only a brother and a sister are going to watch, the last Goosebumps movie that came out, then, I mean, it's not really a family topic, but if it is going to affect the entire family, yeah. I mean, that's easy an example we can, you know, use for purposes of explaining that concept. Another thing is, and we were talking about a little bit about that off air, you know, family reunions.
Oh,
that's a big thing, though. Even though it's recommended, because obviously children gain so much information and in terms of how family members interact with one another.
For better or worse.
But you know what? Older generations, like grandparents,
sure,
in the family play a big role.
Passing down wisdom, how long?
Yeah.
And we've lost that because we've got some families are able to kind of keep all that cross-generational stuff in the neighborhood. But
yeah.
You know, others are,
but others not. Yeah. I have friends whose parents live in Nebraska, and they can't get together as often as they would want to. I mean... But
it's hard though, family reunions.
Yeah.
It's just, you know.
Okay, so we got Thanksgiving coming up. We got Christmas coming up. We're all going to be rolling into the house. We got, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20, however many people together. How do we use this model to our advantage?
Well, and that's where.
It is hard.
and we can't, you know, reach a consensus within 10 or 15 minutes on that because. That's where...
You just have to let them know. You know, I tell family members, you know, when I have my daughter's birthday party or we have Thanksgiving at my house, there's no beer. There's no alcohol.
There's your
alcohol. You know, and that's...
But
sorry,
you took,
no smoking and no
you
alcohol.
You took that step to let them know. And you probably know...
And they know that
who,
I will tell them, too.
And you probably know who, regardless of whether you tell them or not, are still not going to do whatever you ask them to.
Yeah.
But at that point, that's where you have to make that decision. I'm sorry, but I'm just not gonna have have them at home. But that's the balance that you have to find.
You have to communicate that to them.
Yeah, or maybe not. Just don't communicate and don't invite them.
No. So stuff like what are the basic ground rules for behavior in these large family gatherings? That stuff the family could actually talk about in some sort of consensus driven, or the host gets the final, you know, trump card or something.
Yeah. Like, for example, if the parents in this home where you're having the family reunion, obviously, they know. Maybe not just, and even if it's one parent, well, then it's up to that parent to decide, you know, which things are a go and which aren't.
Right. Well, I'll give you like a little cross-example, though, because typically, now that we're grown-ups or whatever, parents come to our house. Right?
Yeah.
And so you may have lots of generations, and the person whose house it is not the oldest person in the room. So they weren't always the parent in these relationships. Are they the parent because it's their house, or that must get weird?
Yeah, it must. And especially if it was those older grandparents that raise the kids, right? And mm-hmm. feel that they have some, well, they should have some say about what goes on in the house or not. So,
and they should, even if it's not their house, in some respects, maybe they
yeah,
could.
Yeah, maybe they could. But, well, then at that point,
I'm looking for that natural rigid point.
Yeah, at that point, you have an even bigger parent subsystem. Because not only are the parents, should the parents take part of that conversation, but also have the grandparents pulled aside and, hey, you know what, guys? What we're thinking about not having this at the home, or we're mm-hmm. thinking about, some consensus. I don't know. I'm thinking no smoking inside of the house, maybe outside. What do you guys think?
Sure, to your prime room.
Yeah. Exactly.
Feet away.
Yeah. So, and if it's like another set of uncles or aunt and uncle that you think that should also have a say, then also pull them in. And
but that kind of puts that person who's offering the say as the parent, right?
Yeah.
And then the people who are getting a say
as
are
participants.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. So
that is so hot. It's just so.
It is.
So I would just say, look, this is what's going to happen here at my house, and if you don't like it, come close.
Yeah, because I think what's important is if I understand you correctly, Julio, is that this is happening all the time anyhow, whether you are aware of it.
If you don't manage it, and if you're not aware of it, that's when family arguments happen.
Yes.
And instead of being a happy time and a family reunion, then becomes disastrous. People leave upset. You know, just.
Because the parenting unit turns all fascist.
Yeah.
So it's important.
It's important, and you know, it sounds very difficult, but like you said, I mean, right now we're putting it in layman terms. You know, we're almost. I mean, I'm trying to visualize what we're talking about, and it almost seems like a sitcom. Like all of a sudden, you have these people that you've never spoken to, but that's not the reality. You know who they are, what they've been through. So it's not something that just happens on one conversation and, you know what, today we're doing this and we're not doing that. Okay, let's go have our party. I mean, it's really not like that.
That's actually a sitcom, too.
Yeah. But it's like you said, Maria, I mean, it doesn't happen overnight. And yes, it's very difficult, but is it not worth it? Is our children not worth it?
Yes.
Is our families not worth it? I mean, and nothing that is worth it, attaining it is going to be easy. I mean, it's going to be tough. It was tough. Maybe to some people, it may not be in other areas, like financial areas. To me, it was tough getting a house. To other people, it may not be. But to everybody, there's no exception. Maintaining healthy relationships and open communication within the family is not an easy thing.
Well, and it's tricky because, you know, who exactly knows what healthy is? I mean, there's not really
one set of models or rules or not rules or a way to manner of doing things might fit for a family.
Yeah.
Different family might be completely
so,
different.
So you can start by saying, you know, like everybody's satisfied. You know, okay, the entire family is basically satisfied with the interpersonal relationships. Okay, that's the definition of happy.
Yeah.
But what if that's a result of systematic processes of abuse that have happened over the years that led this person to believe that happy is, you know, getting slapped upside the head?
Yeah. And this is going to sound like some airtime for behavioral health, but
it could be a social
but... That's where we kick in. Yeah, that's where we kick in as therapists and as mental health providers, because it's impossible to address in this 1 hour every single situation.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's that's where we kick in, because there's different situations in every single household. And we're speaking in very general terms here, trying to like be as inclusive as like the main point. But that's where the family, hopefully, will seek services and maybe eventually become involved in the functional family therapy or in family therapy just in general, and then address specifically what are the dynamics that are going on
in
the home.
And I threw out a fairly, you know, dare I say, pathological example. yet I think there's probably a wide range of more subtle examples. Basically, what I would say is my family has trained me.
Yeah.
In all of my roles, I am acting out some version of what my family has expected me to do and taught me to do through reinforcement and other means.
Yeah.
Fairly closely, even if that is misbehaving, mm-hmm. they've taught me that in some weird ways. How do I know if that's really who I am or really who I want to be? I mean, there's no real alarm that goes off inside yourself.
Yeah.
Because, hey, you've been led astray.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the consequence, and we spoke a little bit about that, if I remember well, at the beginning of the show today, you know, kids ending up in foster placements. Mm-hmm. That would be a sign.
Yeah, no, I'd be more worried yeah. about the kind of slightly mismanaged lives of quiet despair.
Okay.
You know, people who manage to stay afloat.
All right. Not going as far as that.
Mm-hmm.
Kids acting out mm-hmm. in ways that they would not usually act out.
That's what
usual in your house versus my house? And,
yeah.
You know, we've got developmental labels now
I guess. Bottom line, and
if it's functioning, if that's the way you know the parent is using discipline and the way they're communicating and it's working for them, that's then
there you go.
There
yeah.
you go.
And
there's nothing to change. You know, nobody's going to change, and that's
yeah.
That's good.
Yeah,
that's the family. Set.
And also if the parents, I mean, because just even if you were raised in the forest of Russia by wolves.
How did you know? I didn't disclose that on the air.
And you have kids and you have a household and you try to set at least some degree of rules. Maybe you just have one rule and the rule is, I don't know.
Share your food.
And maybe the house has no windows and no electricity, but you must have some rule. If you're maintaining a household, even if you live in a cave, there has to be one rule. And I guess as a parent, if you see something that strikes you as unusual
mm-hmm.
behavior, then something is wrong, regardless of how functionless and how broken that home is. A parent knows when their child is acting differently. Mm-hmm. And, you know, regardless of the degree of...
And that's when they should be calling
us. And that's when they should be calling us, or that's when a red flag arises and they think, you know what, I mean, we're very dysfunctional, but something's even worse than it usually is.
Okay, I'm going to go back, because this is just eating a hole in me right now. What if we're all a little bit tone deaf, because we've been raised in this one type of song, and so now it's the song that we recognize, and it's the song that we're familiar with, but it's not the best song. But we don't know that because it's the only song we ever heard. And that's kind of, you know, I would love to be able to say that, you know, maybe one of the things we have to do is kind of look at the existing systems, even if it seems functional.
But you know what? That family is functioning.
Perfect. Yes.
It's functioning. It doesn't mean that it's your functioning. I know, but it's functioning.
Yeah.
My functioning is different than your functioning and his functioning. But it's still functioning.
That is perfect. Yeah, there you go.
So before you might say, yeah, this is a better tone than your tone. But
No, I think at a different level, what I'm worried about is that function could have long-term costs. I mean, like, the guy out there in the street may be smoking cigarettes. He's functioning. But in 20 years, he's going to get cancer.
Yeah.
And you can say, well, but he's functioning. And so it's cool. What I worry about, I guess, is that certain forms of functioning, even though they're functioning, even though you're like, okay, well, nobody's getting arrested, so we're cool, maybe lives of quiet despair, maybe lives of displaced meaning, maybe lives where some of the magic is lost and can't be recaptured.
Well, a lot of times with functional family therapy, we don't change the family.
Well,
I don't
get to choose. I'm totally
it's
okay with that.
But, you know, when they go through functional family therapy, a lot of those underlying issues get resolved through functional family therapy. There might be kids who are using drugs, but once they get into functional family therapy, even though we're not addressing the drug issue,
mm-hmm.
it gets resolved because of the therapy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I guess my concern wasn't really families that end up in therapy because there's so much going wrong. My concern is that the whole kind of families that aren't going to end up in therapy
yeah.
ever,
well, that's when they should
but
be
aren't
home.
Really having
yeah.
aren't really having marvelous lives, but it's close enough. You know, the suffering is kind of low grade, eternal,
mm-hmm.
and why would you have to suffer if you're aware of these boundaries, if you're aware of these roles, you could somehow at some point take that mild degree of suffering. That over time is going to add up anyway. Okay, I'm a cigarette smoker again.
Yeah.
And get some sort of work it out where you're more aware of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I worry. I worry that we're all a little bit tone deaf because we've only heard the song of our own family system.
Yeah.
And maybe it's a little bit out of tune and it could just, you know, sound
yeah.
a little.
But I'll go back to it again. Your tone is very different than my tone. It doesn't mean that I'm
different songs.
I'm, yeah.
Completely agree.
And that I could easily say I'm not deaf tone.
Yeah. And what works for us in Western society may not work
yeah.
in other cultures, so
probably
it, like
well, what works for me doesn't work for you.
Yeah, I think we've seen that since, thousands of years since, well, let's not even get into that. But you're absolutely right, yeah, and in the example that you were mentioning, Scott, I think, well, we have to realize that we can't save the world. And the families that aren't going to come up front to get the help that they need, well, there's really nothing we can do if they don't speak.
Well, and for them getting help, they have to go to people who've been listening to their own songs, and
yeah.
Lord only knows what that song's playing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's a fairly complex
it is.
Issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And,
yeah.
And that's where as therapists and as professionals, we have to be aware, like you mentioned, Maria, that, you know, you have to not necessarily bring your own values to that family
sure.
because their song tune is not going to be ours. Yeah. So
it might be ours.
It might be. It may be way off. And we have to go along with that. And we have to understand that.
As long as nobody's hitting anybody over the head with a guitar.
Exactly. There's some, yeah, there's some general rules that shouldn't be going on and are very obvious,
mm-hmm.
regardless of the level of functionality within the family.
Great. So if people want to know more about structured family therapy or want some help, who are they going to call?
Just in general, structured
uh-huh.
family therapy is all over the place. Online, there's information, and it's been, you know, going on for several years, so it's not like something new that they won't be able to find.
So for self-help, people could just start looking at it and kind of trying to get a sense of
yeah.
how their own family structure
mm-hmm.
fits into
exactly.
that model.
That's a good
yeah.
start.
It's a good start, and we, at this moment, I can think of two very good things for people to start with. One is through behavioral health. We know quite a bit about it. We have programs that are dedicated primarily to help families with that, so that's one start. And another one is, you know, their own personal research that a person may be able to do by going to the library in their city, in Mexico, and El Centro, or the internet, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But if something hurts emotionally, people should go ahead and seek
oh, yeah.
some professional support.
Yeah.
42-4000.
Absolutely. Julio, thank you for coming aboard today.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you, Maria.
And thank you, Scott. And have a safe
Halloween.
You know, be careful and enjoy it, and that's a good time to spend with your family and with your kids walking around, getting candy.
I just wanted to, this is Mark, you know, sort of the manager here at KUVO. I just wanted to thank you guys for a great show yesterday from your employee appreciation broadcast. I also wanted to thank KXO Radio for helping us out.
Oh, yes.
With the equipment. That's and great. We all kind of put it together. It all came together because of the effort of everybody. So I just wanted to thank everybody.
All right.
And thank you also.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Let's Talk About It, heard each Thursday morning at 7:30 a.m. on KUBO 88.7 FM, Radio Bilingue. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXORadio.com.